Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the Psalms. I'm reading Psalm 25. The verses are 1 through 10, the first 10 verses of this psalm. Listen for the word of our Lord. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exalt over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be the ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of your youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Welcome. Welcome to the Advent season. I have had at least one happy Advent this morning, and do not doubt that you will be sharing happy Advent with one another now for the next four Sundays, letting everyone know exactly what season of the year we are in. In this particular season, we will be concentrating on the Psalms, or at least I will, and hopefully you will come along for that ride a little bit. We'll be looking at what they have to tell us about how we, the followers of Jesus, the Messiah, should be thinking, praying, and living our lives each and every day. And this may seem a bit strange to you, the reading from the Psalms during Advent. After all, it is a time of year when we're supposed to be preparing for Christmas, right? That's what Advent is all about, is it not? Well, yes and no, kind of. Advent is a time that we look back for the first Emmanuel, or at least what we often call the first Emmanuel, God with us, and a time to prepare for the second coming of God with us. While the first Emmanuel became the birth of Christ, or maybe we should say the first Emmanuel is the night that God created Adam and Eve and walked with them in the garden, or his appearance at Mount Sinai with the people of Lord as they came out of Egypt, or perhaps the time that God came to the temple as Solomon and all of the Jewish empire came together and worshipped as God came at the end of the construction of the temple. Perhaps these are all times we should be celebrating as God with us. But we have a different view of this idea of Emmanuel. As soon as Christ comes, we understand that God has been and still and will always be with us. While we celebrate Christ's birth at Christmas, it is just a beginning of God being with us, or another beginning, another error in a long beginning of God with us. The entirety of Scripture tells us about the relationship that humanity has had and is having and will have with God, our Creator. While we kind of squash our worship into particular seasons, for very many millenniums, humanity has struggled to understand our relationship with God and how we are supposed to be in that relationship. At the heart of Advent is this same struggle. It is not just about the time Christ was physically on earth or the time Christ will physically be back on earth. It is about how we are to live in God's presence each and every day of our lives. Who are we supposed to be in this relationship with God? This is a big question for us all, or it should be the big question for us all. Now understand that if this is too counter for you in this season of the year, if you'd rather walk through the Gospels and how this all came about step by step, I do too. I like that. I've done that. But this year, we're going to try something just a little different. An Advent of Psalms. We will hear the voices of those who were desperately seeking to understand what part we play in this relationship of humanity to God, and how we can learn from the voices who spoke 3,000 years ago, voices that are coming from the depth of the human experience, their joys, their sorrows, the fear of the unknowing. These are the voices that the church, and perhaps especially we as a church, need to hear in a time shaken by chaos and fear and unknowing. Hopefully you will walk this path with all of us as we go through the rest of this time and the next three Sundays that come. I think starting with this 25th Psalm, the first 10 verses, is a wonderful thing to do. It is a psalm that is attributed to David, but its authorship is definitely from one who is seeking to learn. These first 10 verses give us an honest expression of need and points to an opportunity to enter into the Advent season with new openness to what is about to unfold and the hope that this Advent season should bring to us. It is a passage filled with hope and the sure expectation that that hope for thing is going to happen. While there is a lament with hope and honesty, it is at its core a teaching poem or song. Now, why would I say to you that it is a teaching psalm? Well, if you look at the psalm in its Hebrew form, we find that it is an acrostic. The first letter of each verse is a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And each verse, each line going down is started that way. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, the beginning of the Hebrew alphabet. Something like if you started with all, and then the next starts with but, come, A, B, C, D, E, F. And it's a common mnemonic device to help people remember and to memorize the words that are written. It is a teaching heart that wrote these words. Someone who wants others to understand the struggle that they have gone through and to learn from it and learn how to handle it. That is a wonderful place for us to start as we look to see how we should enter into this Advent season. The one who wrote this wanted us to remember what was said and put that meeting into a place to bolster our lives, our relationship with God. In a world where writing anything down was expensive, these words were written not for the rich, but for everyone. People could remember them, especially if they were put to music and sung. The words of instruction would be ever before them, perhaps as they worked in the fields, or got ready for bed at night, or rose up in the morning. They might sing a song, as I'm sure each of you do, and I do, except for the morning part. I never sing in the morning. I try not to even speak in the morning, because it never comes out right. But the fact is, that is what this psalm is written to be. Something that you would live with and understand and gain knowledge from, and a pathway of life. So what here is so important that the psalmist believes that this needs to be known by every person who wants to be with God? The first five verses of this psalm, or the passage that we have read today, emphasize the writer's needs. He is coming to them, coming to God with this need for deliverance. He is lamenting. He's looking for guidance, acknowledging only God can help. And perhaps most importantly, seeking forgiveness and help with how to live his life. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exalt over me. He's pleading for God to help him. God is the only one that he can turn to and the only one that can keep him from being shamed. Do not let those who wait for me be put to shame. Let them be the ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. When was the last time you waited for anyone all day long? How expectant would you be if you were expecting a visitor for Thanksgiving to be there at 9 in the morning, but you had many things to do? Suppose they were still not there. Would you sit and wait, or would you leave to go do and perhaps put a note on the door and say, I'll be back? The psalmist says, I wait for you all day long, God. You are the most important thing on my to-do list. In fact, I think the psalmist might be saying, God is the only thing on their to-do list. You see, this is a person who knows they cannot save themselves. Only God can keep them from being shamed. And to accomplish that, to not be ashamed, the writer and we must depend totally on God and God's teaching and leading. Despite the fact that we have years of education, if we added up all the years of education in this room, even though small in the number of people, we would be exceedingly large in the amount of education we have gone through. But despite our best learning, despite all of our knowledge, we are nothing unless totally given over to God. Let's say that again. We are nothing if we are not totally given over to God. Time and time again throughout our history, while we have thought of each generation being the smartest generation and we're getting smarter and smarter all the time, we always do some pretty dumb things and the world goes awry. Wars and insurrections, the things that EA read about, the things that Christ predicted happened constantly. Despite all of our learning, we still have all of those with us. The psalmist cries out for teaching, direction, and forgiveness only to come from God. The pleas are clear, and God is being called upon to teach a way of life, a path of life. The psalmist says, don't make me depend upon myself. Don't make me have to do it. Please show me the way. How many mornings do you wake up and say, Lord, please show me the path today? I know I do it almost every day. The problem is, almost every day, that's the last time I think about it. We should be in that frame of mind all day long. For the psalmist is asking for a path away from death, and instead for that pathway that leads to God. And this might be the problem that we have with this whole business of Advent and us looking back to see God's redemptive actions in the lives of the people of God, God saving our relationship. Time and again, God stepping in where we as humanity have failed in this relationship. Perhaps our problem is that too often we do not believe we need saving. That is the relevant question that the psalmist is singing out to us, is asking us, as he did thousands of years ago, do we need a savior? Now, okay, I get the whole fancy theological way of, oh, of course I need a Savior. God can't dwell on sin, and the whole thing had to be fixed with Jesus coming and all of that. But the question the psalmist is asking is a very personal, one-on-one question to us. Do you need a Savior today? Do you feel an urgent need for God's presence in your lives today? The need to be with God each minute is dependent on a Savior. For we cannot be with God unless one erases our sins. Do we believe we need a Savior to be with God today? I think too often we probably think instead that the hope we have is that God will take me into heaven when I die. Really, it's not urgent today. There's no big deal. I'm not on my deathbed. I'm not about to die this minute, or perhaps I am. No, not yet. But the question is, do we really require a Savior? Do we believe that we have to have a Savior? Someone to lead us to God. Someone to take us along the path, keep us on that path, not only here, but for all of eternity. Do we need someone to save us? The psalmist believes definitely that we need a Savior, that he needs a Savior or she needs a Savior. We need me. God, I need you. I need you desperately. For good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. I am a sinner. God teaches me the way to get through my own sin. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. For those who seek God and follow the path that God will give to them. Our lives are pretty good, aren't they? I mean, let's face it. How many of you missed a meal this week? Paul might have. He's been living in his own dorm room. I don't know about you, but I've had more meals this week than I should have eaten. I can't think of once that I thought my life was truly in danger, except for the time I ate too much at Thanksgiving. I knew that was going to be hurty. Do we really need a Savior? Or are we just counting on the ease of our lives to continue, and then we'll check in for our salvation? The hope of a loving and caring God is only really there for us if we truly know how much we need that loving and caring God. Too often we look at our lives and say, I'm good. Only when death starts coming around do we start to look for God. Do we need God? Do we seek God the way the psalmist is telling us that he is seeking God? If we are not seeking God, then God's sacrifice of God's own Son is like getting a pair of socks for Christmas when you've already got 50 other pairs of socks. It's a complete waste. For if you do not seek out the Savior and come to dwell with God all the time, your heart is not only not ready for Advent this season, it is not ready for God in any season. This Advent, we need to begin to develop a heart that is prepared to receive the gift of Emmanuel. A heart like the one the psalmist had, seeking a path, the way to be with God at all times. I thank the psalmist for his lesson on that day and for the lessons that he gives us this day. Thanks be to God. Amen.